Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
My name is Roy Black. I'm a lawyer here in Miami, Florida. I've been practicing law for over 50 years. I know for most of you that sounds like an enormous amount of time, and it is. And I taught at the law school for 45 plus years. I started out as a public defender, and I represent people in both civil and criminal cases now. But for the first 30 years of my practice, I only did criminal cases. So I'm very familiar with what goes on in, you know, criminal cases, civil cases. It's always been litigation. So that's what my specialty is.
And would you be able to tell the kids a little bit about how you got started? What made you want to pursue a career in law?
Well, that's really a very good question, because when I was a kid, I lived in Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. The family moved around some. And my stepfather was British, and we up and moved to Kingston, Jamaica. And I went to a British public school down there. As you know, that's the fancy name for their private schools. And it was a very difficult transition. And I remember having a math class with a professor who was Black, and of course I'm white, because this is in Jamaica. And he really disliked me, either because I was white or I was an American. I didn't know which one it was. And for a middle-class American kid, this was really shocking, because I didn't know anything about prejudice and bias. And most of us, at least in my age back then, didn't experience that, like most African-American kids with, or immigrants or what have you. So I learned about that. And ever since then, I've hated petty authority. I hate the government. I hate the police taking advantage of people. And so that's why I went to law school. And after law school, I became a public defender. And I did that for many years and represented people in all kinds of cases, particularly in capital cases, which were death penalty cases. So I've done many, many of those kind of cases. And I've argued cases all the way in the up in the courts, trying to prevent people from being executed, particularly in Florida. So I've always had this anti-government, anti-police streak from my childhood. And I think a lot of us are like that. You kids, I'm sure, are going through that now. It's your experiences in your family and in your church and in your school and out on the street. These are the things that give us motivations and get us to out there to learn and try to make the world a better place. And I hope I've done some of it.
You certainly have. You're a legend in your field. Do you mind if we just jump right into some student questions?
No, go right ahead. It makes it a lot easier.
You got it. So we're going to throw it on over to Maria, who's down in Florida. Maria, you have a few questions. So go ahead and start with your first one.
Yeah, so you just told us how you got into like the career in law. So what would you be doing if you didn't have that experience that you did? Like if you didn't want to do law, what do you think you would be doing now?
All right, so you want to know how I got the experience?
No, like what would you be doing other than law if you wouldn't have gone down like the lawyer pathway?
Oh, okay, what I would have done otherwise. In other words, if I had a really good profession. I would have loved to teach something like English literature. I love, and I did in school, 18th and 19th century English prose and poetry. I'm a huge reader. I think that in life, you know, there's so many things that you can learn from the people who went before us. And I've read, you know, I don't know how many biographies, autobiographies, textbooks, and what have you, particularly, of course, since I'm a lawyer. I taught myself back then through reading the text of many great lawyers, because we didn't have YouTube, we didn't have video, we didn't have all those kind of benefits that you have today. We didn't have Wikipedia. We had none of that. You would have to go get books and you learn from the books. We'd go to the library and, you know, try to find the books that would help us. Today, all of you kids have this tremendous opportunity to teach yourselves all the things you want to know. My son is on Wikipedia every day and comes up with facts I've never heard of before. So it's a great advantage that you have with all this reference materials from around the world available to you. And I urge you all to take advantage of it, because you can learn more by yourself than you can in school. So go out there, get into YouTube, into Wikipedia, into all those kinds of sites, and I can assure you that it will give you a great education.
One of the kids, by the way, that's a great answer. One of the kids from France, they wanted to know, who did you look up to when you were growing up?
Well, you know, that's a tough question to answer. Once I became interested in the law, of course, I looked up to people like Clarence Darrow and lawyers like that. Prior to that, I would say my number one person in history is Winston Churchill. I used to belong to the International Churchill Society and read his books, and I love what he did, during the war and trying to save the world for democracy and fighting against fascism. And of course, today, what's happening all over again, we have President Zelensky, who's almost like Churchill, you know, keeping his country afloat and giving us all motivation to help the Ukraine through what they're going through. And when you get to France, since the students from France, I always loved the French philosophers, you know, the Voltaires and what have you, because the French have such a long history of philosophy. And of course, I love Camus, I love Chartres, I'm an existentialist, so of course I love the French philosophers. And the French have always been great in having public philosophers who write for magazines and newspapers, you know, much more than we have here. And it's a more intellectual society in some respect. So I think there's a lot to be learned from the French.
It's interesting. We have a question from Anna, and she is in Portugal. Anna, you should be able to unmute. You had a pretty good question.
Okay, so I just wanted to ask, how many years did you spend in university studying up to the point where you're in life right now?
Let's see. I study every day. I get, I belong to listservs. I look at stuff online for at least an hour and a half every morning. I have never stopped studying, because when you join a profession, doesn't make any difference what it is. It could be law, could be medicine, could be engineering, could be nursing, whatever it may be. You have to master a body of knowledge. And that's the great benefit that you can give to people. So I study all the time, because you never stay the same. You either get better or you get worse. And with the day you stop studying, the day you think you know it all, the day that you're arrogant enough to think you never have to keep up in your profession, is the day that you lose your whole edge as a professional. So you never stop learning.
That is some interesting advice there. And we have a question back, and this goes back to the United States. And this is Maria again, and she had a question regarding the technology in law.
Yeah, so prior to the session, you know, we were discussing how technology has changed law, and, you know, like, especially when it comes to work efficiency. So can you further explain that, how exactly has the change and the impact that it's had?
Sure. When I went to law school, you would spend a lot of time in the law library, which is packed full of, you know, untold thousands of law books. And you had to learn how to get, you know, go from one book to another to try to find the thing that you needed for your particular case. Then about 30 years ago, we had something came in called Westlaw, and that started computerizing court opinions. That was the beginning. And now we've got more and more ways of finding things out. And you know how to do it, for all of you, I'm sure, much better than I am, about getting on Google or other kinds of search engines for databases. And you learn how to be able to search for things. And it really saves an enormous amount of time. And then, of course, Zoom has in the pandemic, Zoom had sort of taken over from the courts. We used to have, for every little thing, we had to go to court, argue from a judge, in front of a judge. Now we can do minor hearings through Zoom, and the court will allow us to, I don't have to travel to Los Angeles to handle a case there. I can have a hearing just on Zoom like this and talk to the judge just like we're in court. So technology has made our lives easier in that way. Of course, it also complicates our lives because there's so much more available. You've got to do more and more. And some days I wonder if we actually save any time doing this. But nevertheless, we have access to things that we never would have had before. And look at this. We're all talking to each other across the world simultaneously. What could be better than that? You know, I can confer with lawyers in Germany, in London, in Paris, in Rome, without having to leave my house. Normally, that would take us days. I remember the first time I had legal proceedings in London, I was able to take the Concorde because, you know, it was only 2.5 hours. And of course, that didn't last too long. But today we can do it very easily, and it's great being able to confer with lawyers in other countries.
And speaking of other countries, we'll go with a few more student questions and then we'll let you go. But this is Marianne, and she is in France. Marianne, you had a pretty good question you can unmute to ask.
Hello, sir. I wondered, what would you say are the qualities required to be an excellent lawyer?
What are the qualities needed to be a good lawyer?
Yes.
All right. Well, I think you have to have, first of all, you have to be academically inclined because it takes a lot of work. In this country, we go to 4 years of college and then 3 years of law school. And then you get further training after that. Now, I train lawyers on how to try cases, on how to give arguments, how to do cross-examination, how to introduce evidence, how to handle yourself in court. That's really continues long after law school. Like you go into internships and, you know, like a doctor going into a residency, you may go work for a law firm, but you get further training all the time. So we're always interested in training, always trying to learn more, always trying to get ahead. So you have to have that academic ability, the energy, the motivation to read and be willing to spend long hours working on something, to be able to focus on things, to be able to understand what is important. And I always tell law students, and if I have to give you one rule that you should follow, and they have a term in finance called ROI, return on investment. For you, the number one investment is in yourself. You should always be thinking about how do I improve myself rather than just improving my job? How do I make myself better? How do I learn to speak better? How do I learn to read better? How do I learn to communicate? This is, you always got to be working on yourself, because as a lawyer or as a professional, what you're actually doing is selling your services to other people, people who can't do what you can do. So you always got to be thinking about how do I improve myself? And you take courses, even after law school, after your internships or whatever, you take courses in public speaking, on communication, on, you know, things like that to make yourself better. The number one thing I would say that you want to learn is reading, writing, and speaking. Those are the things that lawyers do. Writing is critical because you learn to put on paper your ideas. Then if you can learn how to speak, you become an extremely dangerous person, because the person who can get up and speak and give ideas and persuade people is a dangerous person. I don't mean dangerous like violence. I mean dangerous in how powerful you can be. There's nothing more powerful than being able to express yourself so people understand you and that you can persuade them. So if there's anything you do in life, learning how to express yourself, learning how to develop your own ideas, are the things that you should work on number one?
That's phenomenal advice. And I think that can go with any profession, whether you want to go into law or not. We have Celia, and she is from France. Celia, you had a very good question. You can go ahead and ask that first question.
Thank you. My question is, what is the most interesting part of your job? What is
the most interesting part is going to court, where you argue in front of a jury. Now, we have all jury trials here in important cases, whether criminal or civil. And you communicate to the jury. There are 6 or 12 people who decide your case, not a judge. You know, we don't have a single judge or 3 judge panels like you might have in France deciding it. And we don't have a system where the judge is also the investigator. Our judge is neutral, and it's the jury, people from the community who come in, who know nothing about the case, don't have no obligations to the system, who come in and make the decision. And it's my job to be able to introduce the evidence to them so they can see it, whether it's photographs, whether it's a gun, whatever it may be, the testimony, and then try to explain it in a persuasive way at the end of the case why I'm right. And the lawyer on the other side is there trying to explain why he or she is right. And in that way, the jury goes back and comes back with a decision. It's a wonderful process because we're in a little courtroom and it's almost like a performance stage right there in front of the jury. You get up and you speak to them. The witnesses get in the witness stand there and they turn and talk to the jury. And it's up to ordinary people to make the decision. I love that much more than having professionals do it.
That's phenomenal. All right, we have our final student question, and this comes from Maria. And Maria, you can unmute to ask.
Yeah, so the final question is, what advice do you have for kids as they go off into the world and figure out what they want to do?
Now, that's a difficult question. I have the same problem with my son. He has no idea what he wants to do, and he's a junior in college. So you do not have to worry about selecting something at your age. It's going to come to you. I think what you have to find, many people say, you know, you find your passion and you follow that cliche. I'm sure you've run that 100 times. That's really not accurate. Find out what you're really good at, whatever it may be, public speaking, writing, performing, whatever it may be. Find out what you're good at and work on that. Once you find out what you're good at, whether it's acting, speaking, writing, you want to be a reporter, a politician, I don't know, all those million things we can think of in the world. Once you find you're good at it, work on that. That's the thing that is really going to take you a long way. And the better you are at the thing that you're good at, the more successful you're going to be in life.
That is phenomenal advice, and that goes with anything and everything you guys want to do in your lives. And Roy, we can't thank you enough for connecting with us, and we hope maybe we can connect again sometime next year or in the future. And I want to share with you guys, we have the link for Edutainment Learning and the upcoming guest speakers. Go ahead and save that in your bookmarks. And before I end the meeting for all, Let Roy out of here. Can we unmute and can we say thank you to Roy for connecting with us today?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.